This meeting is now being recorded.
And we came to the conclusion that so one is grafted to the Guru, there's no fear of anything. This one is the Guru. And Guru is world made life and world is eternal. God is spirit and we are spirit in man. First of all, we are the true temple of God, the other one is, as spirit is eternal, why should we fear we should die? So you become one with the world made flesh. No fear of death. From then on, there is no birth, no death, no more coming and going. No negative power, for one is down into the very nectar of life, one is plunging in it. Anyone who has done this has no fear of death. I'll explain you, these things have been explained in the scriptures by giving examples. The one painter of one country went over to another country. He went to the king of that place and told him, "We know the art of printing very wonderful. Would you give us a chance to show you?" He said, "All right." He lighted one wall of the big hall. "All right, you go on painting what you want to show." The painter of that very country came up to the king, "Well, we also know this painting. Will you also permit us for competition?" "Yeah, all right." So a curtain was placed in the hall, so that one may not see what other is doing. Naturally, when the thing is done for competition, nobody will let anybody know. So the painter of the other country was there. They did everything, every day something. And king was visiting that place, they are doing something. But the painter of his own country, he did not see anything was doing on the other wall. When that painting was ready, they invited the king, "You may kindly come and see. Your art is ready now." He came and he saw, wonderful. And the other painter said, "Will you kindly visit us?" He was fully convinced, "They have done nothing, what will they show me?" The curtain was taken out. To the amazement of the king, those very paintings were on the other wall. And there are some blemishes in the hand painting. That blemishes were also not in the other world. So what have you done? They said, "We have done nothing. After all, then we have been rubbing the wall so that could reflect." If a disciple rubs all thoughts, all impressions from his mind, except the Guru, he becomes saint. That is the simplest way to have the divine access, divine ship. So I'll just relate to you some from the master's sayings. What is the scripture? I'm giving you some quotations out of that. Just simply to let you know what is what. There's Guru Ram Das. I'll quote you that in part. He says, "I prayed God, O God, meet us with such a master who is a paras. Paras is a stone. If you touch him with some metal, that becomes gold. So meet us such a master by coming in contact with which we become gold, valuable." Then what he said, he said, "My prayer was heard. God made us come in contact with such a Guru." He said, I was not even metal, I was simply rust. He made me not gold, but he made me the paras itself. He got this in the saints of the Master. Can he want? Can he, I wanted nothing except God. our Guru. And worldly people, what we say, we want a Guru for far so that we may get the redemption, higher heavens to enjoy, pleasures of this world or the other world. Generally people are like that, to go to the Guru, to the Master. He said, I have nothing like that. I have a soul, ruling passion to know God. I wanted someone to make me valuable life. That he not made me valuable life, but he made me a black stone which turns all others to gold. So such men who's got the ruling passion of seeing God, they don't want even salvation. They simply want to have a beatific vision of Him, that's all. Once it is so sad, Lord Krishna went away, far away from the gopis, and they were just yearning, burning separation, crying, and Lord Krishna sent His servant Uddhava, go and tell them, well, why are they crying? God is within them. He did go. He gave some very good sermon. God is within you. The word Krishna comes from the root Kiri. Kiri means nearest to God, nearest to the soul. He is with you. Why are you crying all these things? And they said, look here, you know what you say is all right. But we are trying to have a beautiful vision of me. Lord Krishna, what is remedy with you? Is there any remedy for that? What you say is all right, but our eyes are not satisfied unless we have missed of the world. So this is, you see, we are all under delusion. We are conscious entities. We have been living in this mad body. But we are so much identified with the body through mind and mind and outgoing faculties that we have forgotten ourselves. Body is made of matter, this is changing every moment of life. And the world around us is also changing, being made of matter at the same speed as our body is changing. So as we are identified with the body and two things are moving and changing at the same speed, they appear to be stationary. Is it not grand to be? And God is love. Love is innate in our souls. That requires just to be tied to something. Because we are not seeing God, nothing that is attached to the world outside. So, under a delusion and then with attachment outside, how can we dare to know God? Every time impressions are coming through the outer faculty. So they, those who are lovers of God, now compare yourself, ourselves, who are lovers of God, they don't want anything else except the beautiful vision of God. That's all. They don't want this world or the other world, salvation or anything. No. Now, there's a big gathering here. If you're in love with somebody, your heart goes to him. You're amongst many with nobody except with him. So such a person who has got ruling passion for God, they appear to be the world, but they are not of the world. They are got the true renunciation. One worldly man came to a sadhu. He told him, your renunciation. You made a great renunciation of the world all over. And the sadhu told him, dear friend, you are even bigger, greater, man, as compared with me, because you have renounced God for the sake of the world. And we have renounced the world for the sake of God. Who is greater than the creator? So such men, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. Their boat is in the water, but water is not in the boat. Those who come in contact with the God into special power, which is called Dharma or world, when our soul are tied like that, dried like anything, then the outer things do not affect it. So he gives the example that this tree, you see, is called Chandana, which is very good for perfume, which they, I mean, grind and then put silica on the head. And generally it is seen that those such trees are encircled with these by the side to get shoots. Because they're burning, you see, by them. He said the whole tree, world is a tree of God. It's all manifestation of its God. And the delusion which we have, that is the poisonous snake encircling the whole universe. If you want to take the sap of the tree, what will you do? First you will kill the snake and then have it. So if a master meets you, he drags you out of the delusion. He is God. So he says, when such like master meet us, what happens? Your heaps are firewood. You put in little fire to it, all are burnt away to ashes. You have got unlimited, what you say, all sins of the past lives. If you but take little of the light within from a sadhu, whose word makes life, they will burn away all. Because your ego is lost. So long as you are the doer, you will, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you see the light of God, that is a burn away all, because you become conscious, co-worker of the divine plan, all ego is lost. Who will be there to bear the, reap the fruit of what he has sown? So, say, such like persons, if you come in within the radiation, such like persons, you will begin to see God. Because their body is charged. Your body charged with electricity, that if you come near to you, you will be affected. If a man be smeared with perfume, if you near go by, you have perfume or not? If he touches clothes, your clothes are perfumed. In whom the God is manifest, that radiation is going on all around, naturally come sit at your feet. They become receptive. They become the same what they are. So for that he said, don't have the company of those who are not, in whom God is not manifested. You'll be affected. Just like a scorpion when it bites, you have very terrible later on, at the time you only feel little pinch. Similarly, if you come across anyone who are not devoted to God, you will have the color of the world. So why all such company? So he says, within us, two societies of the saints, in whom God is manifest. When you come in contact with one who is reverberating that begins to reverberate within you. You go to a sense seller, you get the perfume without any payment. But if he gives you fire, then. So when you meet such a master, he gives you initiation with all your attention from outside. It gives you contact with the light and sound principle within you, how little or more it may be. That depends on each man's background, of course. So such like the society of the master, you see. What he does? He says, as Quran says, God says, I am a hidden treasure within you. Why don't you seek me? And Guru also says, the treasure divinity within you, it is up to your mind. Take the word of the master. So master is one who gives you a capital to start with, not leave you to go on, you will have it in due course. Of course we are thankful to everybody and those who have learned something. But it is the definition of a true master. You see? He will be able to give you something to start with. If such like men we do find somewhere, then what we should do? He says, just sit at the feet for long. Don't leave his feet. So Guru Ramdas says further, what you should do, he says, I want to be the servants, slaves of the servants of God. In whom is manifest. For how long you will like to be continuing in this society? He says, until my last breath of life goes out. He says, I want to die at the feet of such a master till death. Not to leave till before. He says, why are you asking for this? I want you 6 days till you find me. Daily prayer we have won. Be such a man with the mouthpiece of the Guru, Guru Mukh, who is a sadhu, who is imbued with the Nam power, Nam Nekka. At night, before going to sleep, O God, let us sit at the feet of the dust of the feet of the saints. That's a very great prayer, highest prayer. He says, why you ask for this prayer? He says, because the most wise man, Shankar-like, gave this prayer for it. But he said, it is all God, soul and God is no different thing. Then he gave little difference. Then he became the worshipper of his incarnation. Narada is considered to be the eyes of all bhakta. He prays for that. Vishesha and Narmut, Vishesha and Vishwamitra, they are two very great. Vishwamitra was a great. He put in 60,000 long years in penance. And Vishesha was always putting forward to people that the satsang, company of the saints, in which God is blessed, that is more helpful, more precious. Now who could decide for the sake of people understanding, they gave to the Brahma, they gave to the Vishnu, they came to the Shiva, told them, well, please tell us which is the higher. Then he says, are the contact with the saints. He says, both are very strong people. I don't think they will agree that they went to the, you say, Sherishnag, who had the whole burden of the earth lying. I said, well, dear son, take off this burden, only then I will decide what to say. Then Vishesha told Vishwamitra, all right, now apply your soul for all benefits that you got. Then he put in 20,000 years, 40,000 years, nothing happened, so he put in 50,000 years benefits. The earth little moved from the head, again sat down on the head. And he said, well, please decide, what should I decide? Again, the burden of death is over my head. Of course, it was risen above, of course. Now came the turn of Vishesha, who was always speaking highly about satsang. Satsang means, you see, content with God, who is eternal. And until then, be such as a soul, Guru Vishesha God, in whom that word is made place. He said, all right, I give only little, say, an hour or so, what I pass in the company of the saints. And the earth rose above his head, and he said, it is out inside. So Guru Ramdas said, that is why I am asking this prayer. That can be, and furthermore, when he says, I find wherever such masters lived, they became the places of pilgrimage. Christ lived at Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is the place of pilgrimage of all Christianity, is it not? Prophet Muhammad lived at Mecca. Mecca is the place of pilgrimage of all the Mohammedans of the world over. Buddha was invited. Buddha tree is in India. That's the place of pilgrimage of all the Buddhists. Guru Nanak, where he was born, that was called Nankana Sahib. when sat under a tree, sole tree, that became sweet, that become that later now. When he sat with somebody, Kandhari, that became Panjaram. All other places of worship, Tamarchi, Rishi, and other things, wherever there's some person like that, that is the place of worship. Now Kabir says, oh God, I'm in a great dilemma. Who is later? The world made Christ as the place at which he lived. Which is later? One world made Christ sat in so many places, all places became the places of worship. Decidedly, the one is greater, one who is made flesh. He said, what does he give? What we should do? He said, leave all pride of your kingship, or your erudition, or your possession. Leave all and sit at the feet of Sakya Mahal. It so happened, you see, Ravidas was a great saint, at whose feet Mirabai sat. What? Are you ready, you know?
Just about.
Good?
Just about, yes.
I started 15 minutes late. To make the whole thing charge, you see. The king of Pipa King, in his, you see, jurisdiction, Ravidas lived. So all were going, he said, I'll be king, how can I go to a cobbler? He's afraid of that, he would not go. But one day Kunda remained, he went to his feet, it was evening time, he was washing the skin. Well, Master, I've come to you. All right, you'll have the nectar. He was afraid of that, that water of the skin which your skin was washed, he was very, but he could not say anything, but he did not drink the water and then drank the shirt, ran away. Oh God, I'm saved today. I was going to you like anything. He came over and called his washerman. Well, go wash it out. There was some blood on his skin over that. He gave it to his daughter. He sucked that thing. And that was why that Sakya had the charging. That daughter of Vishnu, of the washerman, became a saint. Everybody runs with him, she's a saint. One day, he called my washer. Man's daughter is a great soul. I should go and pay him a visit. He went over there, and the daughter stood with a folded hand. He said, daughter, I have not come to you as a daughter, but I have come, you are a saint. Now, I have also not stood up paying obeisance to you, because what I have wanted is with your grace only. That was the charge that the Ravidas gave them. This is what I want to bring home. What is the effect of the charging of the radiation of a saint? You will change. Whatever goes into the salt mine, everything becomes salt. So for that he says, what he gives? We are businessmen. If you go, what will he give? He says, he will rise your soul from all outside, from body below, gives you a contact with God, by knowing which all your accounts of sins will be washed away. This he gives. He said, then what to do? Well, please don't wait. Do the earliest possible moment, go sit at the feet of Sakya Mahal, so that your life may be insured. When this insurance business started quite early, one man came to me, has your life insured? I told him, well, you have come, I want my life already insured at the feet of my master. You have come only to insure my death, because if I die within 10 years, then I have got the full money. So such like master come from time to time. What they have got with them, they give the contact with God, which is like some. That's the music of the Akhand Kirtan going on, not out of that, beyond the matter. And that is the water of life, that is the bread of life, That is called Yadi Ayat. This is the need. Master come, you can raise your soul up and give your contact. So what do they say? When they come with the arms like that, come on, please. Those who want to have the permanent peace with God, come on, God has come to you. So these things I have put in before you. Devotion to the Master and what the Master gives. Without devotion to the Master, you cannot take a step further. And this devotion to the Master is the basic teaching of all Masters who came to the path. Those who start on the way, they say, we do not hear, we less like this. And this is all due to them, because we have no devotion for the Master. One third of teaching is given by the word of mouth, and two thirds by receptivity that you do. Some people come with all puffed up with their recognition and knowledge, we know better. They lose. You must become receptive if you want to have the full benefit of meeting a Master. And first benefit is what? You know how to rise above body consciousness. You know, when you rise daily above body consciousness, no fear of death. There's no escape from death. How can you conquer it? You know how to die daily. St. Paul said, I die daily. So these continuous three talks I gave you subject by subject. This is all without which we cannot progress much further. This is the one thing I am bringing to your notice. If we become, we are, what you say, grafted into the Guru, you cannot afford it. If you are grafted into the Guru, the whole thing of the Guru comes in you. As the reflection of the painter, I told you. So please remain where you are. Master come not to touch the outer forms and rituals or the labels, to break one and start new. But Master used to say, somebody told him, why don't you start a new religion? He says, wells are already dug. Water's everywhere. Why should they dig a new well? Basic teachings of all the Masters have been same, whose scriptures are with us today. Of all Masters who came in the past up to date, we need now someone who can give a contact with that. And for that, true living is the one. And receptive. So mind that you have got full devotion for the Master. You need no questions. You will go on like that, learning from day to day. Here it is where we need. We are wanting. So this is the third task again, you in a continuative way, what I came to know at the feet of my Master, Baba Samsini, and by parallel study of scriptures I played before you with as an average of level of average man, quoting from all scriptures. This is where we are wanting. If you want to derive the full benefit of the man body, sit at the feet. The only body and be your as your life ensured. Let's not. Don't wait that you'll have it in due course or after that. A word in hand is better than two in the bush. They don't come to break but to fulfill. Remain your first as you have taken all right. Man, a social being, must have some social body to live in. But to know God is the highest religion and true living. So thank you for your patient hearing. You gave last two talks today. What I have come to know, I have placed before you. It is for you to see how far you have been benefited by it and how far you can be benefited by it. Thank you all. Tomorrow perhaps I will leave. So thank you all for your patient hearing. I think I am more fortunate than all of you because I have seen so many faces before me. You are less fortunate because you have seen only one. So thank you all. But after all, outside. God is all alone. He wants everybody to come all alone. Not to take your body with you even. He don't think.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning, our reader is Jack Weinstein. Are you there, Jack?
Yes, I am.
Okay, carry on.
Today's reading is from the book, The Night is a Jungle, Chapter 13, entitled Protector and Protection, starting on page 307. The festival of Raksha is observed by our Hindu brothers, and the true meaning of Raksha Bandhan is to have good intentions towards someone and be a protection for them in every way, to protect them from difficulties, unhappiness, calamities, etc., or to save them from the force of such occurrences as cannot be prevented. The custom has been upheld in India for many generations, and at the time of wars, for instance, sisters would tie a small token on the wrists of their soldier brothers and whisper the prayer, "May God protect you." It is a common custom, still continued nowadays, but unfortunately, with time it has deteriorated from its true meaning, and we find that when the sister now ties the token, she feeds him some sweetmeat and then expects some money in return. And so the true reason for the custom is lost. What is raksha or protection, and who can give it wholeheartedly? When a child is born, it has no awareness of anything, but its mother protects it from birth until it is fully grown. The father is the bread earner, but the mother is the protector. First, for 9 or 10 months, she carries the baby in her womb, giving it all her love and attention. Then, when it arrives in the world, she starts to take care of its every need. She keeps him clean, for he is constantly dirtying himself. If he gets wet, and there are no more dry clothes, though it be the depth of winter, she will keep him warm on her breast and cover him with her own clothes, oblivious to the danger of catching cold herself. When the child gradually begins to have some awareness of his surroundings, he starts to realize a little of the love of his mother toward him, for the mother first loves the child, not vice versa. The child's love comes in response, and when he learns to love, he is reluctant to leave his mother's lap. She spends her life in worrying about the child, his health, his food, his education, good character, and his future. Everything concerning him is dear to her heart until he stands on his feet and gets established in life. Even then, her worrying does not cease. You will find that most mothers are like this, the whole world over. However, this worldly life is not the true living. We have to be born again, not physically, but into a new and different world. Christ said that unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, and only after getting this physical form can we get rebirth into the beyond. Just as the mother is the physical protector, it is even more necessary to have a protector through the second or spiritual birth and on through the spiritual life until one has grown in awareness and is able to stand upright spiritually. With conditions as they are today, even man's closest ties offer little protection. A brother is not a true brother. Father is not for his son, and the son will do nothing for his father. Even the mother has started cursing her child, who in turn has lost all respect for its mother. It is such a terrible and degraded condition that mankind has sunk into, I feel like weeping. Anyway, one might have the sympathies of a righteous person, but for how long can he protect one? For as long as he stays in this world, not beyond that, and in the process of rebirth, he will be of no avail whatsoever. So who can protect us in the new world? He who dwells there. The true Raksha Bandhan happens when you have a protector for your soul who can take care of you in this world and the next, and without whom nothing can be achieved, with all due respect and gratitude to our physical and material protectors. The mother hen sits on her eggs with full concentration so that the chicks will form. When they are fully formed, she conveys to them that they are ready for the world which is waiting for them with open arms. The sun which is brightly shining, the grass is green and fresh, and there is plenty of food to eat. But the chick is in darkness and cannot realize there is any other state. The mother then has to resort to tapping on the shell with her beak. And on hearing this, he instinctively feels encouraged to do the same from inside, and in a short time, he is putting his head into a new atmosphere, filled with light and life. Only then does he understand the promise conveyed by his mother. If we want to be born into the new world, we need the help of someone who will not only take us there, but who will protect us to the end of the journey. Do you think this is work for our mother, father, sister, or any friend? No, it is impossible. The whole world is unable to assist you. There is an account of an incident during the life of my master, Baba Sawan Singh Ji, of a woman disciple whose only son was arrested on a false charge of murder and was given the penalty of death by hanging. The sessions judge presiding over the case was also a disciple, and before the final verdict was concluded, Baba Sawan Singh Ji requested him to help the accused and said, "I know he is innocent and falsely implicated." But the judge disregarded the master's words and gave the death sentence. A few days later, I was present when the same judge came to pay his respects to Hazur. And when the master passed very close to him, without even looking in his direction, he said casually to another person, "I have no need of a judge. I can ask the Lord to do my work." Just then the mother approached the master and started crying. "He has been sentenced to death," she said. Baba Sawan Singh Ji replied, "Don't worry. You just put in an appeal." It was not the type of case that had the slightest chance through appealing. But on the master's advice, the mother did appeal. And when they re-examined the case, certain facts came to light, and eventually the son was released. So one can see that even when there is no hope in any direction, a true protector can give the maximum help. Frankly, what is a human being's life but a series of interruptions? At each step, there is a barrier. What one wants does not happen. Some people are dying. Some are sick. Some are in difficulties of various kinds. There are thousands in poverty and in appallingly afflicted conditions. The whole of mankind is lamenting its unhappiness every step of the way. Who is there to give consolation in this world and guidance in the next? Guru Nanak has said on the subject, "O Nanak, break off all connections with the imperfect and search for a perfect master. They will abandon you even while you live, but he will never leave you, even after death. Maulana Rumi has also said that one should grasp the coattails of a man who knows the secrets of this world and the beyond. The protection of such a personage cannot be described, but the individuals who experience it hold the knowledge close in their hearts. His single thought is very powerful, for God is superconsciousness. He is a part of the Creator, a drop of the ocean of all light. Remember, with one thought, God created the world. From one, many came into creation. If we, the soul, become the mouthpiece of the Oversoul, then how powerful will we be? Our soul, though it is the same as the Oversoul, is surrounded by the mind and the senses, and is enclosed in the carcass of the physical form. The masters come like motherly hens to foster the children, which is very necessary, for unless they sit at some master's feet and absorb his words, they cannot be reborn. Remember that. Though in the beginning it may be by mere words that the facts of life are conveyed, of a new world more beautiful than this, that is, And Brahmand, Parbrahmand, and Satlok, or Satchkhand. O soul, you are the dweller of that land. Why have you allowed yourself to be captivated here? On hearing the words of the masters, we slowly start thinking and want to know what else there is. When the master gives the soul a connection with the beyond, it hears it and responds. There is no way without the shabd to leave this pot of clay. With repetition or simran, you can achieve single-pointed concentration. And with concentrated attention, dhyan, you will come to a standstill. But shabd is the only power to take you up into the beyond. The master is that consciousness which has become the mouthpiece of the all consciousness, and his single penetrating glance can lift the consciousness of not only one, but hundreds at one sitting, if necessary. To be connected to such a personage is the true Raksha Bandhan. Otherwise, it is merely a worldly custom. What are a guru's responsibilities, and what does he do? When one gives real thought to this, one's soul shivers to realize the extent of his protection. People do not understand that the guru's responsibilities are vast. They are overjoyed with the prospects of becoming masters themselves. Forgive me for saying this. Each one's desire is to be a guru, sadhu, or sant. And spellbound with these thoughts, he forgets his duty toward himself and what he has to become in reality, thereby spending his precious time in leisure and wasting away whatever he has got. But the master, with each breath, goes on saving the disciples all the time. Whenever he initiates, he sows a seed for a new life, like the seed enters the mother's womb and then develops. Howsoever God's words come, he brings them into outer knowledge. He is a perfect being, the mouthpiece of God, the conscious co-worker who sees that it is God sitting within him who is doing everything. This kind of master sows the seed of attention and gives a way up into the beyond which is a new experience. In India, some time ago, the masters who gave initiation into the beyond were termed Brahmins, the supreme caste. But today, only the caste remains, and initiation is but a mantra, mere words, that is all. The raksha, or protection, is a question mark. You are in the custody of a true master from the very day he gives initiation. He becomes the very breath of the disciple. Baba Sawan Singh Ji used to say that from the day the master gives the blessing of Nam, the guru becomes the indweller, along with the soul. From that very moment, he starts forming the child with love and protection, until ultimately he takes him into the lap of the Oversoul. Until that time, he does not leave him for 1 minute. This advancement may take 1, 2, or 3 lifetimes. Masters have mentioned up to 4. But if we become receptive, it can happen in 1 lifetime. God is working in the master, and if you think of him in this way, then whatever you desire will be given. In physique, he looks the same as other men, but he is not man alone. He became a man to dispense the treasure of God to the souls. He is not in birth and death. The benefactor came for the souls, to give them the treasure of devotion and join them back to God. Like a father gives the germinal seed of life, the guru bestirs the life force, the incomparable gift. There are many kinds of gifts, but the gift of Nam is above all others, and having given it, the master then develops it within you, because he wants you to reach the same stage as himself. He wants you to enjoy the bliss that he enjoys. The master goes on protecting and giving, whether the disciple knows it or not, for he is like a small child which never realizes how much worry and trouble it is to its mother. The child may turn out to have a bad character and perhaps become a gambler, but the mother will continue to concern herself with his needs, that he may not starve, and so on. A child thinks that he knows his mother very well, but what child understands about a mother's heart? We also think that we know our master, but we can know only as much as he wishes to reveal to us. We can see only as much as our eye is developed. To convince us of the truth, he will approach us in various ways, as a brother or a friend, and will sometimes appear to be inferior in knowledge or intellect. He acts in whatever way will help the disciple to gain confidence in his master. In this depth of humility, his greatness is revealed. Thus, this great personage gives rebirth to the soul and gradually makes us as great as he is. Truly, it is a profound blessing to have a living master who has come to give new life. You may ask, is all this the truth? But you can prove it through your own experiences. And in the many letters I receive daily, there are numerous accounts of the master's protection. For example, a car was traveling along the road, and it overturned into a very steep slope. The disciples in the car remembered the master, and the car righted itself onto all 4 wheels again. Disciples who have faith in their master can go through many dangerous experiences and will be astonished how they are saved and protected. These things are daily occurrences. Become receptive and obey his orders implicitly. even though at times he may show anger and displeasure, for he has taken this task upon himself and has to make you into something. A sculptor will pick up a rock lying on the roadside and chisel it to make eyes, nose, etc. And finally it becomes a work of art, a valuable thing. The master will make the disciple into something priceless, and those who are receptive will progress quicker, regardless of how long they have been traveling along this path. What good would it be if the stone started fighting with the sculptor, saying, "I do not want a nose chiseled. I do not want my face like this." He has to make something of it, and he does so with great love. Sometimes, due to the fate karmas, many difficulties cross the student's path. And who is there to console and give strength to bear them? A single word from a perfect master goes to the depth of the heart, that it can stand upright and bear the burden. I remember when Pakistan was formed. You know the condition at that time. Whole families died. Friends were killed. Many people starved. Even rich people were destitute and hungry for a slice of bread. Naturally, they tried to console each other, but the misery and hurt was so deep that they were inconsolable. However, when they came to Hazur, he would say, "It is all right. Don't despair. God will give you more." And he would lift his hand in love and blessing. His words were like soothing balm on their raw wounds. The truth is that there is great power in this attention. And when one is helpless and feels that there is no hope, one will get full protection and assistance by turning one's face toward the master. For example, if a child has to undergo some minor operation by the doctor, he will feel more assured and protected if his mother holds him in her lap, where her tender concern and love will help to take his attention from what is happening. There are many disciples who, while going through serious operations, have seen their master as the surgeon performing the operation. It is a question of love and faith in the guru. Some have seen the master standing near them with loving and concentrated gaze. They lost their fear and forgot the operation completely. These are not stories from invention, but true facts which have happened and are still happening. It is very necessary to have a living master. On this subject, Guru Ramdas, the fourth guru of the Sikhs, says, "She who has given birth will look after the child with all her strength. He may be in the house or outside, but she is concerned for his every morsel. As the mother takes care of the baby selflessly, with all her strength and in all his needs, even going without herself if necessary, so does the true guru take care of the disciple through all the tribulations of life. If the disciple's eye is open enough, he will see for himself how he is being protected. And even if he does not see, he will still receive the protection. If the child gets dirty, the mother does not spurn him, but washes him clean and lovingly embraces him to her breast. But we are covered with the filth of ages of worldly living. And the guru, with all love and concern, teaches us how to refrain from soiling ourselves. Many times she will reprove, but always press you to her heart in love. Guard the invaluable gift from the master with your very life, for it will remain with you in this world and the next. It is not a trivial thing to meet a guru, but with deep sorrow I observe that many people do not have respect for their master. A child can never forget his mother and all she has done for him. If anyone does forget their mother's love, it is a great sin. To forget all the blessings the Guru has bestowed is unforgivable. Kabir says, "This sigh will ever leave my heart that I can do nothing in return for all that the Guru has done for me. Forgive me, but the task of the Guru is not an easy one. To make something of the disciple, to put him on his feet, to give him new life, to reach him to his true home, this is the Guru's work. Giving lectures or fine talks is not the Guru's work. His talks are merely to help them be aware that are in deep forgetfulness. But the Master's duty is a matter of custody. O Lord, we are the children of God, but in ignorance. The Master unfolds our understanding first as a teacher and then by taking on all the headaches, like bringing up a child from infancy, worrying about everything we do, just like a mother. When the child is fully grown, the mother knows that when he is hungry, he will himself come for food. But if by chance he does not come, she again goes looking for him everywhere. If the disciple does not listen, the master will offer alternative ways to help his progress. But if he is clever and keen to learn, he will understand much from but a single gesture, and so learns accurately and advances rapidly. When the disciple does not learn from satsang, books, and messages, the master uses many other ways to encourage him. There is the indirect method. Baba Sawan Singh Ji would sometimes rebuke a man when the actual wrongdoer was another standing nearby. He would say, "This is not right. It should not happen again." And the person being addressed would wonder in his heart, "What have I done that he is saying this?" But realizing that the words were indirectly meant for someone else. The ways of masters are often misunderstood through lack of spiritual growth. At times, the disciples would perpetrate wrong deeds. It is very easy to fail. But when they came to Hazur, he would show special love and say, "It is good you have come." This special attention was given particularly to save them from themselves, but many would foolishly think, "If we sin, our Guru is very happy with us." This is our intellect misguiding us. Fortunately for us, the Master's purpose is always the same, to save the child, that he may stand erect. The road is very long, but he gives his time to each individual. After all, he has great love for each and every one. What can he do? If, after all these means are applied, the disciple still does not understand and progress, he uses yet other means to keep him on the straight path. Forgive me, but when he pulls the rope, the soul writhes in torment. When the child does not obey and wastes his life, the master shakes him hard. And though he might be a hopeless case, the unceasing love of the master will infuse a breeze of enthusiasm into his heart eventually. If you go on sitting at his feet, you will come nearer to realization. That is why it is advised, don't leave the satsang. Whatever has gone wrong will right itself. Why is your condition today so appalling? Because of the mind and the senses overpowering the soul, and too much living for outer enjoyment. There are grievances in your hearts against others. You cut each other's throats and squeeze the blood out. In this condition, what is the saving factor? go to the satsang regularly. One day you will think a thing is right. Another day you will think a thing is wrong. But do not cease to attend, and your condition will right itself. The more a child is obedient to the Guru's every wish, the quicker will be salvation. A certain Mahatma by the name of Panap Das has said that a man should have three blessings. First, God's. Second, the Guru's. And third, your own soul's. God's blessing you have already got. He has given you the human form, and to come across a perfect master is his very special blessing. The Guru's blessing you received when he gave you rebirth by taking you above the senses and rejoining you to the sound current within, which will take you back to the source of all life. But what about the third blessing, which is your own? What is that? Having received the experience and connection with the truth from the Master, then whatever he advises, you should do. Give whatever is the time requirement necessary to your inner progress. This is your own blessing on yourself. When the child learns with interest, he benefits from the teacher's pleasure also. That concludes today's reading. I will read the second half the next time I read. The Master's words are the Master, and we are so grateful to you, beloved Master Kripal, for your incredible words and for your fantastic, constant, moment-by-moment protection. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Jack, for the wonderful reading. Today we had 85 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.